This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions because it's time to dish the dirt. On The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Hey, good morning and welcome to The Garden Show on Zoomer Radio with Charlie Dobbin. I am Dean Holland, her aiding and abetting partner-ish, kind of Robin to her Batman. How are you this morning, Charlie?
I'm great. Great. It's we got a little bit of snow.
Yep.
So everything's looking very white and pristine. And I can see the moon in the sky. There's not a cloud. It's all sparkly and crystally. It's beautiful here.
Beautiful. Well, you have a little bit different weather than we do up in, north of Toronto, Collingwood area. We've got a system over top of us, which is not a bad thing because, of course, skiing is a big thing up where I am. So the temperatures have been favorable for them to make snow. And now we're getting a little bit of a top up, which is always the better of the two. You know, you want to have the natural stuff if you can.
Oh, for sure. That icy crap they call snow. I hate skiing on that.
Yeah, and actually, we had a little bit of an icy week this week. My one son was out yesterday. He said the hills were a little bit icy because we had a little bit of freezing drizzle, the day before. So, but yeah, we're getting a nice little top up today.
Sweet.
Yeah, let me give out those numbers first, just to get people. The phone lines are open. We'd love for you to give us a call if you have an indoor gardening question or an outdoor gardening question. Either one will make the grade. If you live in Toronto, the number is 416-360-0740. Or anywhere else in the province of Ontario, it is toll-free, 1-866-740-4740. And please let Carlos know if you are a first-time caller, because I will give you your garden wings. And we want you to call often, call early. Please call early. And one question per call, please. Yeah. So what do you got going in your garden there this week, Charlie?
Well, you know, it's interesting. You and I spoke just before the show, and I neglected to mention something that remember last week we talked a bit about voles and all the damage that voles do to our lawns and our gardens. And it's not usually a big problem if you're urban or super suburban, but you get a little bit rural and you get voles. And we had a few people call in last week with a couple of their suggestions about Irish Spring and mints Irish Spring soap. Mm-hmm. Also some suggestions for hiring a professional pest control. Well, I got an email from, and I didn't send this to you, I'm sorry, I just thought of it now, from Daniel Lunau, and he suggests ground chilies spread all over the vegetation that the voles will try and chew on, and then that burns their mouths and they move on. Be aggressive with a dry application. So some people don't like the chili idea so much. They worry that it might hurt the little critters, but nevertheless, it can be a good deterrent. Also, Daniel asked me to give a shout out to one of our fans. Her name is Esther, and she lives in the backyard of Daniel, so they're good buddies. And they also have a long history of being friends of White Rose Nursery. You were probably too young to remember White Rose, I guess.
I know White Rose Nursery. I'm not that much of a spring chicken. I absolutely remember that, for sure.
Yes, good old White Rose that went bankrupt many years ago. Nevertheless, yeah. I worked there for a very long time. So anyway, just quickly looking at this, I know we have to go to a break. Right. So, and actually, Daniel sent some nice photos. He grows corn on his front lawn, and he shares that with the various caregivers that he was doing palliative care for his sister. So he had Swiss chard, kohlrabi, walking onions, a whole bunch of cool things, all mixed in with his ornamentals in his front yard. It looks very pretty in the pictures. And I sent him a note, and I just said, boy, the lucky caregivers that were coming to your house, they were well fed by his garden. So very, very nice tips. Thank you, Daniel, and hello to Esther.
Indeed. Very, very nice. Well, you know what? I'm already proud of feeling very proud of our listeners because the phone lines are lighting up. So, yes, call early. We have to take a quick break. But as soon as we get back, we will get right to those calls right here on The Garden Show.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Yes, yes, yes. We are back here with The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. And Charlie, we're going to get right to our first caller. And we're going to go to a community that is on the eastern part of the province, right on the, western part of the province, on the eastern shores of Lake Huron, a little place called Belgrave. And we've got Doreen on the line. Welcome to The Garden Show, Doreen.
Good morning, Dean and Charlie. Your show is a highlight of the week for me.
Oh, fabulous. Fabulous. What's going on in Belgrave, Doreen? How's the weather?
We have hazelnut trees. And right close to the trunk, they are growing suckers. Should I get rid of all those suckers?
Are you growing the hazelnut trees for the nuts? Yes. You're growing the hazelnuts so you can harvest the nuts?
And we have a real crop of them.
Oh, great. I would get rid of the suckers, yes. I would get down on my hands and knees. I would move the soil away from the trunk, follow the suckers down. They'll be growing off the root, the roots just below the surface, and then break the suckers off with your thumb. Don't cut them. As soon as you cut suckers, you get twice as many. So break them away from where they're growing from.
What if they've got quite a size? They were growing in the tree, and I didn't even see them.
Oh, my.
They are bigger than my thumb.
Yeah, so, well, if they're small enough, you'll be able to break them. If they're too large, you'll have to cut them cleanly right back to where they're coming from. And it's a great thing to do on a sunny day a month or so from now, on a nice day where you can, you know, you want to be outside and spring is in the air and you can see exactly what's going on. That's the time to do it, is before the leaves grow.
Well, we have a lot of apple trees to prune, too.
There you go.
I want to give people a hint. I used to be troubled with the white worm in my carrots.
Oh, yeah.
Now, when I plant the seed, I make the row deeper, and I sprinkle ground coffee. It doesn't have to be perked or just out of the can, whatever. Cover that, put my seeds, more coffee on top, and it eliminates the white worms.
Great idea. Like it. Coffee is used quite a bit as a repellent. So thank you. Great tip.
Have a good day.
Okay, thank you. Yeah.
Bye.
Sorry. Thanks for the call, Doreen. Yeah, good luck with those. I always learned something from you, Charlie. I didn't realize that it's better to break off those suckers instead of cutting them.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You'll be far more successful.
Okay. And you know what? The other thing I did not realize is hazelnuts. I didn't realize they were a thing in the province, but I went to a Christmas show at Blue Mountain and the various vendors, and I bought some packages of hazelnuts. And I think, if memory serves me correctly, this farm was maybe in the Tillsonburg-Delhi area, I think. And I was a bit surprised to find out, but they're trying to rejuvenate this all of these hazelnut trees.
You know what? It's an interesting point. There's a recently started, because it takes years, recently started hazelnut orchard right close to me. Somebody has, a young couple has decided that they're going to grow hazelnuts. But, you know, similar to apples, though it takes even longer than apples these days, you plant and you wait. You care for, it's a big investment before you get any kind of a crop.
Gotcha. Okay, you know what? I have other callers on the line, but I probably should take that next break, and then we'll get back and we'll have more comfortable time to talk to Marilyn from Toronto. So we'll be right back with much more on The Garden Show.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Okay, yeah, we're back here on The Garden Show, and I have got Marilyn on the line from Toronto, and Marilyn is a first-time caller. Welcome to The Garden Show, Marilyn.
Thank you.
I'd like to give you your garden wings.
Oh, yes. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I have a question that I hope you'll be able to answer. Except for the last few years, to Canada Blooms. Do you know if they are going to be running this year?
You know what? Good question. I think they are set up for 2023. I don't think they're going to... 2024. Let me just check. I've got a computer in front of me. In the Blooms. website. Yeah, I spent many, many years working for Canada Blooms. All right, yeah, so they are not returning to the big show until 2024.
Ah, I see, yeah. I see. Oh, okay.
And then thank you. And I think they're going to be back where they started, which was the Congress Center, I think. Oh. But we'll have more on that, I'm sure.
Yes, I see. So not this year. What a shame. Okay.
You know what? It takes about 8 months of prep to put that show on. So that's probably why they delayed. They weren't positive that things were going to stay open. Remember how we opened and closed so many times over the last year and a half? Because of the long time, the long prep for that show preparation, they probably want to just make sure it was good to go.
I see. Okay. Thank you so much. I appreciate
You're
it.
Welcome.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks for the call, Marilyn. I was just taking a peek around. I had my wife bring down that bag of hazelnuts, and yeah, it is. In fact, it's a farm in Delhi called Dalton White.
Oh.
So, which is So they're in the business of hazelnuts.
Right.
And, yeah.
I just noticed there's another one, Grimmo Nut Nursery in Niagara on the Lake, and they do more than just hazelnuts. But yeah, they're big into hazelnuts. There's a Ontario Hazelnut Association.
Okay. Yeah. See, and I was saying to you off the air that I guess I don't think of Ontario as a nut producing province, but I'm finding that I'm incorrect there. It's not the case. There's a number of places that grow nuts.
Hey, it says right here, hazelnut orchards can last 50 to 75 years.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's it. You can start and pass on to your next generation. Yeah,
if they're keen to do it. I mean, just like any orchard or farm, it's not zero maintenance. There's, I'm sure, all kinds of, you know, like care and looking after the trees and obviously harvesting, etc.
Yeah, like going around and snapping off all those suckers with your thumb, right? There you go. Okay, let's go to our next caller. We have we're going to Georgetown now. We have Sharon on the line. Welcome to the Garden Show, Sharon.
Hi, Carolee Dean. I grew an amaryllis plant from, you know, you get the boxes, and it grew beautifully. And I understand that you can replant it in the spring out in the garden. What I'd like to know is, what do I do with the bulb between now and then so it stays healthy?
Okay, so it's still in the pot that it was that you put it in, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so leave it in the pot, and when you planted it, hopefully, excuse me, the kit you got, hopefully the pot had drainage holes in the pot.
Yes.
They don't always. And when you planted it, you planted the bulb about half under the soil and about half out of the soil, hopefully.
Okay, just like you did when it came out of the box.
Right, yep, exactly. Yeah, and so it's bloomed, and now it probably has leaves coming up, long, narrow leaves.
Oh, I've actually had one bloom came out right at Christmas Day. There nice. Was four blooms, and now I've just got a second one. There was another one came up, and now we're enjoying four more blooms from another one. So they're just starting to die off.
All right, so that's the flower stalks. And that's fine. Enjoy the flowers. Leave the green flower stalks as long as they're green.
Okay.
They will eventually turn yellow and you'll cut those off. Meanwhile, green leaves are going to grow out of the bulb. You're going to let those leaves grow. You're going to keep the plant in a sunny spot on a windowsill, somewhere in your house where it's getting some sun. And it will grow like a house plant from now until you take it outside in the pot when we're frost free. So that will be, you know, whenever, May or June. And I would take it outside, just put it in a shady spot in the pot, leave it in the pot. Just take it out for the summer, let it grow again, just as a green plant all summer. And we'll talk about bringing them in at the end of the summer later when we get closer to that point. But for now, enjoy your amaryllis as a greenhouse plant once it's done flowering. Only water when it's dry.
The same thing as outside, I guess, too. Just water when it's dry.
Yep, exactly. But once it's outside, the rain will be out there as well, too. So usually I don't even end up watering my amaryllis a lot if we get rain.
Okay, you mentioned about in the fall to bring it back in again. Will it grow again?
Yes. If you follow my instructions, it will.
And flower. Oh, So I guess
and flower is
a paper white.
Is always the dream. It doesn't always flower, but yes, that's the plan.
Okay, thank you so much.
Okay, okay. Yeah, yeah. Thanks very much, Sharon.
Take care.
Dean, just quickly.
Yeah, yeah,
the reason I said it doesn't always flower. Quick update. I put away, I think, 6 pots of amaryllis last fall.
Yeah.
All of which bloomed beautifully multi times last winter. This year, bringing them out of the dark, bringing them into the light, watching them grow, I have 1 with a flower coming. The rest are all leaves, just leaves.
Yikes.
So what does that mean? It means I failed miserably. Well, it means that it means that I have to be patient and wait for next year. It does take a lot of energy for a bulb to produce a flower. So sometimes when a bulb really, like last year, I had just had tons of flowers. Now this year, the bulbs are taking a bit of a break. They're just going to grow green leaves, and I'm just going to accept that and have a bunch of green amaryllis other than the 1 pot. And then next year, crossing my fingers, they're all going to bloom again.
Gotcha. Now, you got an email from Alice this week.
Oh, yeah. An update.
Yeah. That said that, and she sent you pictures of her 2 amaryllis that her husband recycled. She got them recycled, yeah, from last year's bulbs. Uh-huh. She says, we have 1 more coming, but the bloom is just starting. And she says they've been fun to watch. And as you can see, they're soon to be 4 blooms on each plant. Very pretty. And she has been updating us periodically as we go along. So I find the whole thing interesting, too. I've got a couple of bulbs that I'm wanting to recycle for next year.
Exactly. And that's exactly what Sharon was on about was, you know, can I keep these bulbs for next year? Yes, you can. So don't call them recycled, if you will. They just get bigger. So it's better, actually, to recycle. One thing I will mention, and I'm not very good at it, but I'm going to do it this year. Fertilize. After the flowers, provide fertilizer to your amaryllis when you're watering.
Okay. And one point that I think is worth repeating that you've mentioned a couple of times, and I noticed with one of the kits that I got this year, is that I think so often they do not actually put drainage holes in the bottom of the pot. I had a pot that did not.
Right.
And so you do need to make sure that I think anyway that you might want to either put some holes in the bottom or put it in a pot that does have drainage holes.
Absolutely correct, because there's nothing worse than trying to grow plants in pots with no drainage. So easy to overwater. You don't have a clue what's going on down at the bottom of the pot.
Okay, and they could rot, right? They could rot from the bottom.
Yeah. Any plant's roots will rot if underwater for extended periods of time. Bulbs are very susceptible to rotting if they are kept moist all the time.
Okay. Before we get to our next caller, I'd like to give out the numbers again. We do have room on the lines. Don't wait until 5 minutes before the end of the show. Call now. We would love to talk to you about any gardening question inside or out. Toronto number is 416-360-0740 or toll free anywhere else in the province of Ontario. Yeah, give us a call. 1-866-740-4740. We are now going to Brampton and we have Dan on the line. Welcome to the Garden Show, Dan.
Oh, morning, Charlie and Dean.
Morning.
How are you today?
Ready? Oops. What do you got for us, Dan?
Oh, I have a question about, I have a junipers that I plant. I have a corner lot, so I planted some junipers about 40 feet from the sidewalk about 40 years ago. And one of them is now kind of encroaching upon the sidewalk. And I'm just wondering how far I can cut it back without killing it.
Huh. If it's been there for 40 years, chances are you'd have trouble killing it. Trust me.
Okay.
They are sound like happy plants. Now, these are junipers. There's 2 forms that junipers grow in. One is a pyramidal form, like a Christmas tree. The other is a spreading plant.
It's a spreading one.
It is a spreading one. Have you been trimming that plant along the edge of the sidewalk for a number of years?
Well, I've been trimming it for 40 years. And
right.
So finally it's now about 4 inches over the sidewalk.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wonder if I cut it back, will the green come back again one day?
Yeah. Well, the older branches, you know, the big thick stems that eventually grow on plants like this will not really green up a lot. But of course, we always have new growth in the spring. Tips grow nice and green and soft on all our plants, including the junipers. If it was me, what I would do is I would go out anytime between now and June, and I would look closely at what branches are growing over the sidewalk. Mm-hmm. So if they're big, thick, old, you know, branches that would hurt somebody if they run into them, and if you just trim them right at sidewalk edge, again, it's a blunt, hard cut there, I would follow that large branch back to an appropriate point. It might be 2 or 3 feet before the sidewalk where you'll get to a point where the branch has a Y shape or a crotch. And I would cut that branch back at that crotch point. So it's not a few inches back from the sidewalk, several feet back. Meanwhile, the other bits that are leaning over, growing over, it's all going to start to flush with a whole bunch of new growth. And before you know it, instead of 4 inches into the sidewalk, you're going to be 8 inches into the sidewalk. So it's up to you. You can do, like I say, go back on each branch, cut back to an appropriate point so that it looks nice from the sidewalk. It's allowed for new growth to come and fill in where you've done your pruning. So but you do this between now and June. Or what some people do is they get out the old hedge clippers and they do like a straight line hedge clip about a foot off the sidewalk all the way down and end up with a bit of a wall of a juniper. Very unnatural looking because junipers don't grow like that. So I wouldn't recommend that. I think it looks kind of odd, but many times people will do that. They just find it easier to just do a shearing right down. But don't shear at the sidewalk. Go back a foot.
Oh, okay.
So one or the other.
Okay, so I can take it that far back then, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You're taking it back a foot. What you'll find if you did that shearing back a foot, you are going to end up, like I said, with some bigger stems that are going to be quite rough looking. And so you're going to clean up those larger, thicker branches with some nice sharp pruners or loppers. And preferably, like I said, go back even further on those, back to where you see some green growth, because their new growth will come and cover those blunt ends.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for the call there, Dan, and good luck with that. Yeah, indeed. Okay. We are going to Etobicoke now. We have Denise on the line, and Denise is a first-time caller. Welcome to the Garden Show, Denise.
Thank you very much. How are you guys?
We're good. We're good.
Welcome.
I would love to give you your garden wings, okay?
Please. Very pretty.
There you go. You earned them. You earned them.
My question is about soil outside. We have very clay soil, and one part of our yard is in dappled shade, and everything we're planting is dying, even though we amended the soil. We only amended it where we put the new plant. So I'm just wondering, are there any evergreens or shrubs that can thrive in clay soil?
Okay, so what does grow in this dappled shade? Is it, there's a tree there obviously providing some of the shade, and then what else?
There's a lot of, there's four large trees that are in my neighbor's yard that kind of hang over into my yard. So when it does rain, it doesn't get a lot of water, so we have to pull the hose out a lot. We planted, the hostas did okay. We have one dogwood that survived, but we planted a whole bunch of hydrangeas, and by the end of summer, they were all gone. And I can't believe that each hydrangea had something wrong with it, so I'm thinking it's the soil.
It is a very, very good guess on your part. Hydrangea tells us that this is a plant that loves water because it's called hydrangea for a reason, okay. Hydra. And yes, when we have very poorly drained soil or very dry conditions or very poor soil, hydrangea would not be the first choice. So what you've done is you've chosen some plants that are surviving, maybe not thriving, but dogwood, hostas, both good examples of plants that will survive in poor soil and dappled shade. But really, at the end of the day, the best thing you can do is supplement the soil. If you've made a bit of a garden there and you're struggling with the roots, the neighbor's roots of the trees are also taking some of your nutrient, but it's just going to be a process of fixing that soil. It doesn't happen overnight. Use the leaves that drop off those trees. Take your neighbor's leaves, whatever you want to do, but use the leaves in the fall to add organic matter to that poor clay soil. Right. In the spring, get yourself some composted manure or triple mix, And yeah, are there, you're hoping for an evergreen that's going to do well. The best evergreens for shady conditions are yews, Y-E-W-U. They will grow sun or shade. But again, they won't grow in poor soil, nor will they grow in really dry conditions. So fix the soil first, plant some plants that you're having success with. Consider, there's pyramidal yews, there's globe yews, there's all different shapes of yews. Consider a couple of those for some structure, but fix the soil first and then mulch once you've planted.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much for the call there, Denise.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, we have another first-time caller on the line, Charlie, and we're going a little bit further afield than we normally do. It looks like we're going to this. It says we're going to the state of Illinois. We've got Richard on the line. Welcome to the Garden Show, Richard.
Well, thank you, Dean, and a little nervous here.
Give you a minute to calm down. I'm going to give you your garden wings, Richard. Okay, there you go.
Oh, appreciate it.
There you are. You've earned them.
Welcome to the show.
I've got a problem with, well, I need pruning and a couple of things, grape and also a Lebanon cedar. My wife planted when it was like 2 foot tall and now they're like 40. I mean,
sorry for laughing. Okay, so you are a perfect example of what not to do. When we plant cedars or grapes or any plants at all, maintenance right from the beginning is so important. So we don't try never to wait 10 or 20 or 30 years before we start thinking about pruning, because it can be challenging to do a good pruning job that when the plant is that old. Grape is not so such a big deal. Grape, there's lots of great stuff on the web on that. But in the spring, before the leaves, you know, the little buds are going to start to show, you can do some very hard or radical pruning on the grape. Is it growing up over an arbor or a gazebo only, or something like that?
It's 4 years old. So really, I had two main trunks coming off of the one stem for two of them. That's all I have. And it's grown out, and it produced grapes last year. It's a seedless Concord. And I guess I just need to cut it back. Do I cut it back to those initial, say, four stems?
I wouldn't go that far, but you could if you wanted to. That's the great thing about the spring. Before the growth starts, you can be quite radical, but just make sure that you're always leaving a few buds behind. So whatever vines you leave behind, stems, branches, call them what you will, make sure there's at least one, if not two or three buds showing along the stem. And you come back to that point on a dry day with nice sharp pruners. But with big overgrown cedars, it's tougher. To take the tops off now tends to cause quite a bit of death at the top.
No, I would take the bottom. I mean, like, I can't drive my, it's on either side of my driveway, so I'm having a hard time getting out of my driveway.
Sorry, I'm laughing. It reminds me of some people who planted a blue spruce on the front of their lawn, and it was a pretty little plant. And, you know, 30 years later, they had to actually move their front door from the front of the house to the side of the house because they couldn't get in the front door because the sweet little blue spruce got so big. So you might have to move your driveway is what I was thinking. No, you can shear them in the spring before June, or around June, May or June. But your challenge will be shearing all the way up. And remember, technically with cedars, we want them wider at the base and narrower at the top. So you might want to consider hiring a local arborist to come and give you a quote on what they would charge to just do a proper cleanup job on those trees.
Oh, other than that, I'm a black belt with a samurai sword. I can cut through anything.
There you go.
I love it.
I want to see you up on a platform 20 feet high doing that.
Oh, no. I'm cutting the bottom. I'm going to stay on the ground and make sure my chainsaw and everything else is ready.
Okay. But eventually you're going to have like a tunnel, right? You'll be driving through the cedars and they'll come together over top.
Should I cut the perimeter or the just on either side of the driveway?
Yeah. Well, but when you're pruning, make sure you do not only the side of the driveway, but do the entire plant. So if you are trimming back some of the lower growth on the cedars, go around the entire plant, not just driveway side, but the other the other sides.
Oh, Charlie, thank you so much. So I'd cut the whole thing around, and do I tar it or anything?
No tarring. Just do it on a nice dry day, sharp tools. And remember, they will, that's the nice thing. Cedars will grow back. So you can be, but just if you do all this pruning and shearing before the end of June, the new growth will cover the cuts that you've made. That's why I like that timing.
Okay, and the grapes I cut sooner.
But yes, before the leaves come out.
Before the leaves come out, right.
Okay, thanks so much for the call there, Richard. All the best.
Don't be a stranger.
Yeah, give us a call again. Yeah. Okay, have to take another one of our pauses for some important messages, but we will be right back with much more on The Garden Show.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Yes, indeed, we are back here on The Garden Show, and I gotta say, Charlie, listening to that list in the theme music there of all those flowers is giving me a bit of spring fever.
I know. Aren't we kind of wanting to get a bit dirty?
Yeah, for sure.
So
yeah.
You know what I did just to relieve my need for green? I planted some alfalfa sprouts.
Oh.
Last week.
Okay. You know, inside? Yeah, obviously inside.
Yeah, just the seeds, right? And then they grow into the little sprouts. And I made myself a beautiful turkey sandwich yesterday with nice fresh sprouts, and I felt very proud.
Did they grow, like, in a week they grew?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 4 or 5 days.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Are they the ones, like, you just spread them on, like, a wet paper towel kind of deal, or?
No, I did it. Well, they're sprouters. You can just use a jar, you know, the old, the soup jars with the lid with the ring. So you take off the flat bit, you just use the ring and a piece of cheesecloth over the top.
Oh, okay.
Right. And so you put a tablespoon of alfalfa sprout seeds or alfalfa seeds into the jar, rinse them, pour it out, rinse a couple times, pour it out, and then leave the jar on a 45 degree angle and just keep doing the rinse, pouring a couple times a day for about 3 or 4 days and 5 days. And Bob's your uncle. You've got sprouts.
Wow. I'm going to try that. Absolutely. Okay, we have a Doreen called back. She had a second question, so she followed our mantra. And one question per call, please. So welcome back to The Garden Show, Doreen.
Here I am with pruning apple trees. Help me.
Oh, sorry, I missed that. Something about your apple trees?
Pruning. I know when I'm pruning, sharp pruners, nice dry day, but some trees are mature. Some trees are only about 5 years old.
Okay. How many trees do you have?
About 14.
That's quite a few. So pruning fruit trees is an art unto itself. When we plant trees for fruit, there's two ways to prune. One is we prune for production, so to maximize the fruit. The other way we prune is for ornamental value, to maximize the beauty of the tree. They are not the same thing. In your case, I imagine these trees were planted strictly for the fruit. So the look of the tree is not relevant. It's maximizing fruit that is relevant. And like I say, it is an art unto itself. It's very hard for me to describe exactly how to prune apple trees on the radio. There's some excellent stuff on the web. I would start with OMAFRA, the Ontario Ministry of Agriculture and Food and Rural Affairs. So just the acronym OMAFRA. Apple trees, they will give you specifically Ontario advice. What trees to plant, how to care for, when to fertilize, when to prune. And you're right, young trees are pruned differently than older trees. When to spray, because apple trees are very yummy and many insects love the sweet, sweet juices of apple trees. So yeah, apple trees are a huge, it's quite a responsibility, but then it's also a huge pleasure to be able to go out and pick your own apples. So if this is more than you can handle, you may need help to do it, but I would certainly get a handle on what exactly you're striving for and aiming for before you hire somebody to do the work for you.
Thank you. Can I add something? We
sure.
Had our first crop of hickory nuts this year.
Oh, sorry, what was the crop?
Hickory nuts.
Oh, hickory. Sweet. That's great.
And we had five 5-gallon pails of butternuts to crack.
Oh, wow. Aren't you busy? Hickories plus butternuts. So you must have a very large property. Those are big trees.
There's only 3 butternut trees.
Still, big. Those are big trees.
Oh, they're beautiful.
I bet they are. Yes. Very nice. Very nice choice. So, good for you. And lucky you. Sounds very, like you've got a beautiful property.
I have to admit, though, we had 3 hickory trees, and 2 of them were really, really healthy, and the other one was scrawny. The 2 healthy ones died on us, and it's the scrawny one that has the hickory nuts.
There we go. You just never know.
That's exactly right. The run to the litter.
There we go. Well, thanks again for the call, Doreen. You have a tremendous weekend, and don't be a stranger. Give us a call another time, okay? I have to take our last pause. We have a couple more callers on the line. We'll get to them as soon as we come back with more on The Garden Show.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Yes, we are back here on The Garden Show. Charlie Dobbin, Dean Holland, and we have Nancy on the line. Welcome to The Garden Show, Nancy. Hey there, Nancy. Good morning. Yeah.
Hi, good morning.
Morning. Nancy, where are you calling from?
Alderwood.
Okay. Gotcha. Nice. What do you got for Charlie there, Nancy?
I have received a plant at Christmas, and I can't figure out the name. I'll spell it out to you. It's C-Y-C-L-A-M-E-N.
Mm-hmm. And it is a lovely plant. It's the way you pronounce that is cyclamen. So that's cyclamen is a traditional Christmas or seasonal plant, fragrant flowers. Blooms in the winter, so is blooming now.
Yes.
Caring for that plant is probably, for many people, the hardest thing is keeping it cool. Cyclamen is a plant that wants to be kept cool. If you keep it at sort of regular home temperatures, you know, 80 degrees Fahrenheit kind of temperatures, it's too hot, and the plant will just shrivel up and die. So if you have a warm house or a warm apartment, keep it right on a windowsill, so it's in the coolest part of the home. It would like bright light, but near a window is always cooler than away from the window. It wants to be at night around 10 degrees or 50 Fahrenheit, and then during the day, 18 degrees Celsius, which is 68, 69 Fahrenheit. So it wants, like I say, fairly cool temperatures, lots of light, and only water from the bottom. So you have a saucer below the plant. Make sure the plant is not in a wrapper, because at Christmas they often come with glitzy plastic all around them. So get rid of the plastic. Make sure there's drainage holes in the pot. Put the pot in a saucer and water from below.
Water from below in the saucer?
Yes.
Oh, not in the top.
That's right. Not in the top, because cyclamen is a corm or an underground storage organ that can rot if you water from the top and the water sits on top of the corm. So you want, by watering from below, you don't run the risk of rotting the plant.
And could I plant it outside in the summer?
You could in a shady spot, but it will die in the frost. So if you keep it in a pot, you could put it outside in a shady spot in the pot and then bring it in before frost.
I see. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks. Yeah. Thanks for the call there, Nancy. I like cyclamens. I saw some the other day, actually. They're now, does it benefit them to put them outside for these in the summer? Not really.
Sort of 6 of 1. The main thing is they don't want to, I mean, the thing about cyclamen is they will, if you put them outside, they'll probably go dormant for the summer. Probably just go completely disappear. So it'll look like they're dead, but they'll actually still be there in the pot. There's a few plants that do that they're gorgeous in the winter because these are tropical plants, right? They're from the other side of the equator. So they think that it's growing season now, and then they will go dormant in our summer. You could put them out, but don't just make sure they don't get soggy. That's the main thing.
Okay. Well, our last caller for the show today is going to be a first-time caller. So it's Patricia on the line from Sunderland. How are you, Patricia?
I'm great. How are you?
We're really good, and we're really pleased you called, and I want to give you your garden wings, okay?
Thank you.
There you go.
Good morning.
Good morning. I've been listening to your show for years. This is finally I decided to call. I have a Dracaena that's about 10 feet tall. We have it under a skylight in the bathroom.
Nice.
It's actually blooming right now.
Yeah.
Because we had taken it outside and stressed it about 4 years ago. And so now it blooms every January.
But that's great.
It's lost all its leaves in the middle. Mm-hmm. So it's looking scrawny. And we want to cut it off. There's actually four branches.
Right. So when you say leaves in the middle, are there leaves at the bottom of the plant and the top and nothing in the middle?
Yes.
Huh. Okay. What you need to do, I know this can be a challenge with big old plants like Dracaenas. You need to look up, again, it's a bit hard to explain the whole process on the radio. It's a form of propagation called air layering. So A-I-R, air, layering, L-A-Y-E-R-I-N-G. And right. So it will take a few months. You can, though, with sphagnum moss and either tinfoil or plastic wrap, you can score the bark in the middle of the Dracaena stems, wrap them in moist moss, wrap that with plastic or tinfoil, wait 3 or 4 months, and roots will have grown, and then you can sever the top from the bottom of the plant. So do look it up. There's great, great information on the web, air layering in your case for that plant.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you for calling, Patricia, and don't be a stranger.
Okay, doke. So there was a full show. It was kind of a nutty show today.
Truly.
Talks about nuts.
No pun intended.
Yeah. Charlie, we have like 30 seconds left. Quickly before the show, you and I were talking about, for those of us who still have our real Christmas trees, you were saying that we can use that in our garden, yeah?
Yeah, if you've got your Christmas tree still kicking around, not yet picked up by your municipality, you can jam it into a snowbank and hang a little bit of bird feeder equipment up in there, you know, peanut butter dipped pine cones. You can cut off lower boughs, which is what I used to do in Richmond Hill. Use those boughs to protect some of your tender plants, rhododendrons, that sort of plant. What I do is I just put my tree right outside beside my bird feeder, and the birds use it as shelter. So all the juncos love the tree. They hang out in the center. So lots of fun. Don't get rid of your tree if you don't need to. Thanks.
Fabulous. Thank you. Thanks. You have a great week.
And you too. Thanks, Carlos. Couldn't do any of this without Carlos and all the great callers. See you again next week.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.